content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the book Month by Month Gardening in the Carolinas by Bob Polomsky. And we'll start this podcast, this session, with December. And now that the oaks have shed their leaves, look for the green azalea-sized clusters of mistletoes nestled comfortably in the bare branches. This half-parasitic plant has been a part of our culture for centuries. The modern tradition of using mistletoe around the Christmas holiday season dates back to the Celts of Northern Europe. Druids, the holy men of Celtic society, used mistletoe to winter solstice ceremonies. Fearing the cold, short days of winter, the Druids used this green symbol of growth to ensure the return of the sun's warmth in the spring. Some cultures associated mistletoe with fertility because of its ability to bear fruit in winter. The Ainu of Japan chopped up mistletoe leaves and sprinkled them on their fields to ensure a good crop. In Austria, a sprig of mistletoe was placed in a couple's bed to encourage conception. Of more modern origin is the act of kissing under the mistletoe on Christmas Eve. It probably drew upon old age rituals and traditions involving Druidism and fertility rites. It began as a fad in England and Wales in the 18th century and has become a Christmas tradition in many households today. In our trees, the mistletoe leaves allow it to produce its own food but steals water and nutrients from its host. In most cases, mistletoe is simply a cosmetic problem. In others, it can affect the growth and vigor of its host and expose the tree to attacks by diseases and insects. The only effective way of ridding your tree of a mistletoe infestation is by cutting the infected limb 1 to 2 feet below the plant, because mistletoe roots may extend up to a foot on either side of the point of attachment. Breaking off the tops only encourages regrowth. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, avoid butchering the tree with haphazard cuts. Find a certified arborist. If you decorate your home with store-bought or homegrown mistletoe, hang it up high, out of the reach of children and pets. The berries are toxic, and the sap may irritate the skin of some people. Watch out. It also can turn Scrooges into smoochers. And we start with planning. For annuals, there's not much to be done with annuals this month, and you must not expect much from them. They expect little from you. If you've kept up with the autumn chores outdoors and your green thumb still itches, swing your focus to your house plants. For bulbs, evaluate the performance of your bulbs this past year. What bulbs stopped you in your tracks when you first noticed them to bloom? Were any troubled by insects or diseases? Did any minor bulbs stand out among the rest? Make plans to experiment with new bulbs and those recommended by others. For edibles, take inventory of your seed collection. Decide what to save, trade, or toss out. For lawns, plan to winterize the lawnmower before putting it away for the winter. Nothing could be more exasperating next spring than a lawnmower that won't start. The secret to getting it to start on the first or second pull next spring is to winterize it. For perennials and ornamental grasses, start a wish list of perennials. Some information that should be included is the name and cultivar. Expected bloom time, example, early spring, midsummer, or early fall. Cold heat hardiness, flower color, ornamental characteristics, height and spread, pest problems, and additional comments. For roses, review what happened during this past year. If this was your first year growing roses and you've been pleased by your performance and theirs, make plans to get better. For shrubs, the best way to prevent winter damage to shrubs is to select hardy species. Remember that it is better to select cold hardy species in the first place rather than attempt to protect tender plants later. For trees, the first Friday in December is Arbor Day in South Carolina. Only South Carolinians in the warmer areas of Zone 8A can expect cabbage palmetto to survive the winter, but other adapted trees can be planted this month as long as the weather is mild and the soil does not freeze and thaw during the winter months. Try something new. Just as you may feel comfortable with a particular entree at a restaurant, but sometimes want something different, get adventurous, carpe diem, and try something new. If you want to purchase a live Christmas tree, choose one that will thrive in your area and make sure you know where you're going to plant it. Here are some choices for Carolina's gardeners. In Zone 6, try Colorado spruce, Norway spruce, white fir, Douglas fir, red cedar, Scotch pine, and for gardeners in Zone 7 and 8, can try Arizona cypress, deodar cedar, red cedar, Virginia pine, Leland cypress. If you live in Zone 9, try Arizona cypress, deodar cedar, Leland cypress, and southern red cedar. For vines and ground covers, evaluate and plan to make improvements next year. See if you've cured any of your troubling spots with vines and ground covers. Perhaps you'll have to replace the annual vines with perennial woody types to give you year-round privacy. Were pests a problem this season? Learn more about controlling the most troublesome insects and diseases by refining your pest control techniques or simply replacing the pest-prone plants with more resistant ones. And for water gardening, there's not much to be done with the water garden this month except to plan for next season. As with most garden maintenance, monitoring the garden on a regular basis will prevent many serious problems from occurring. Plan to spruce up your water garden next year with some exciting plants. The nursery industry is responding to the popularity of water gardening with new colors and forms of water lilies and marginal and edge-of-the-pond plants that have variegated stems and leaves. And smaller is in with a greater selection of smaller water lilies and compact marginal plants. And for planting, for annuals, hardy cool season annual transplants may still be set out in the coastal plain, particularly near the coast. For bulbs, buy commercially prepared Lily of the Valley pips from your florist or garden center. Plant as many as possible in pots to secure an abundance of fragrant blooms. One bonus of these bulbs is that they tolerate more heat than other commonly forced bulbs. Spring bulbs, which are late bloomers, can still be planted, though bulbs that bloom in February, crocuses, snowdrops, and so forth, may not flower if planted now. Try to get them in the ground before mid-month. For edibles, sow onion seeds in the Piedmont. Piedmont and coastal plain gardeners can sow lettuce and other greens in cold frames for winter use. For lawns, sod of cool season grass can be installed as long as the soil is not frozen. Wait until next spring to seed, plug, or sod your warm season lawn. you and your lawn should take the month off. Perennials and ornamental grasses. Seeds that need an exposure to cold temperatures can be sown this month and set outdoors. For roses, weather permitting, coastal plain and Piedmont gardeners can plant bare root roses or move roses to other parts of the landscape. For shrubs, trees, and vines and ground covers, continue planting container-grown and bald and burlapped shrubs in the Piedmont and coastal plain where the soil doesn't freeze and thaw during the winter months. Take hardwood stem cuttings of evergreens such as boxwood, camellia, holly, and juniper this month and root them in a cool greenhouse or cold frame. For good establishment, transplant at least 4 weeks before the soil temperature goes below 40 degrees Fahrenheit. Newly planted trees should be watered immediately after planting. Continue to water them during the winter months if the soil isn't frozen. However, don't keep them waterlogged. Root hardwood stem cuttings of coniferous evergreens such as juniper, cypress, false cypress, and cryptomeria. Some broad-leaved evergreens that can be propagated now are holly, arborvita, and hemlock. And our next topic is the care of annuals. Pansies and other winter annuals can be pushed out of the ground in the winter in the colder mountains and Piedmonts. This frost heaving, when the freezing and thawing of a soil lifts plants out of the ground and damages roots, can be minimized by mulching. Cut up your Christmas tree and lay some of the branches over flower beds to insulate the soil. And for bulbs, take soil samples from your beds if not done in the past 2 or 3 years, because lime can take up to 6 months to react and increase the soil pH. The sooner you have your soil tested, the sooner you can apply lime to your beds if necessary. For edibles, continue to harvest chives, cilantro, and parsley. In the Piedmont and mountains, protect winter greens with a fabric row cover or with plastic tunnels. Plastic stretched over metal hoops for protection from hard freezes. Brussels sprouts, broccoli, mustard, cabbage, turnips, and most lettuces will be damaged by a hard freeze, more than 6 hours below 26 degrees Fahrenheit. And for lawns, you may still have to mow your cool season lawn this month. Continue practicing the one-third rule. Do not remove any more than one-third of the height at each mowing. Mow overseeded Bermuda grass lawns at 1 inch before the grass gets taller than 1.5 inches. Dormant Bermuda grass that has not been overseeded does not need mowing. And for perennials and ornamental grasses, late planted perennials in the mountains and the colder parts of the Piedmont where the soil freezes should be mulched to insulate the soil and reduce the occurrence of frost heaving. Continue to cut back dead, damaged, or dying perennial top growth that offers no winter ornamental interest or food for birds. Cut down to within 2 to 3 inches of ground level or just above the new foliage at the base. Perennials such as coneflowers, Heliopsis, and black-eyed Susan, whose seed heads offer food for birds, are best left unpruned until late winter. For roses, roses that are newly planted in the fall will benefit from winter protection, especially in the higher elevations, in the mountains and valleys. Late summer and early fall planted roses also need to be protected. Tender roses such as teas, chinas, and noisettes should be protected with mulch to protect their roots and above-ground canes. Winter winds can aggravate tall growing hybrid teas, breaking their canes and injuring their roots as they're tossed about by the wind. Wait until they're dormant to cut them back to 3 feet, thereby lessening their chances of getting tussled by the wind. For shrubs, trees, and vines and ground covers, when cutting branches from hollies or other evergreen shrubs for indoor decoration, maintain the natural form and beauty of the plant. Limit pruning of other shrubs to the removal of damaged or dead branches. Wait until after the coldest part of winter has passed before doing any major structural pruning that would remove large limbs that may encourage new growth or make the tree susceptible to winter injury. For shrubs, construct windbreaks around broad-leaved evergreens predisposed to winter damage. Drive 4 wooden stakes around the shrub, wrap it with burlap, and staple the burlap to the stakes. Trees. Check the water in your Christmas tree stand daily and replenish it so it won't go dry. For vines and ground covers, keep vines off wooden walls. The vines trap moisture and slow the drying of wood, which can encourage decay. When shading brick or masonry walls with clinging vines that have aerial rootlets or adhesive discs, such as English and Boston ivies, climbing fig, and climbing hydrangea, think twice before allowing them to cling to the walls. After you tear down the vines, you're left with rootlets and discs that can only be removed with a stiff scrub brush. Give English ivy a trim and pull it off house walls or trees. Ivy, which grows up into a tree, may eventually cover too much of the crown and cause the tree to die. Heavy infestations have been known to break tree limbs. Only once ivy climbs, it also flowers and sets seeds, leading to seedlings, which can be a nuisance. For water gardens, in the milder coastal plain, gardeners need to thin out the submerged plants if that wasn't done last month. Remove the dead leaves from your marginal plants. Trim dead leaves from hardy water lilies and cold hardy aquatic plants and discard them. If there's a threat of ice forming on your pool, move the plants to the lowest part of the pond or pool. Above ground water containers, such as tub gardens, can freeze during extended cold periods, so it's best to locate them in a southern exposure for most of the winter. Cover them during the cold nights to trap stored heat and to offer some protection from freezing. Prevent the pond from freezing because any organic matter frozen at the bottom of the pond may eventually decay, producing levels of methane gases that can be toxic to fish. Install a pump or a heater designed for water garden pools. Remove dead leaves and other debris that may gather around the pond or on the surface of the water. And for watering, for annuals, water cool season annuals after fertilizing. Newly planted transplants should be watered more often to speed up establishment. If there is a warm spell, check to be sure nothing in the garden is getting too dry. Water as necessary. For lawns, for cool season grasses, if dry weather persists and the lawn shows signs of drought stress, apply an inch of water per week in the absence of precipitation. newly seeded or sodded lawns can be watered frequently. As the seedlings emerge and the sod knits into the soil, gradually water less frequently, but more deeply and less often. For warm season lawns, periodic watering may be necessary to prevent the grasses from drying out, especially when the weather is warm and windy. For perennials and ornamental grasses, keep newly planted transplants well watered to help them get established. For roses, shrubs, trees, and vine and ground covers, mountain gardeners should make sure their new plantings are well watered before the ground freezes. Never allow the reservoir of your Christmas tree holder to go dry. An airlock can form in the trunk that can keep the tree from absorbing any more water. Researchers have shown that plain water is best. And for water gardens, maintain the water level in your pond for the plants and fish who spend the winter outdoors. And for fertilizing, annuals. Lightly fertilize winter annuals such as pansies and ornamental cabbage and kale between bouts of cold weather. If you didn't fertilize last month and the weather is mild, apply a complete fertilizer such as 10-10-10 in the absence of a soil test. For lawns, do not fertilize the lawn at this time. Overseeded Bermuda grass lawns can be fertilized this month. Use a fertilizer recommended by soil test results. Do not apply a fertilizer containing phosphorus and potassium if adequate levels are already present in the soil. For perennials and ornamental grasses, roses, shrubs, trees, and vines, and ground covers, do not fertilize this month. Wait until spring when new growth begins. And for problem solving. For bulbs, discard any bulb that shows signs of rot, which attacks improperly stored tubers in warm, humid conditions. Hand pull any young winter annuals or cover them with a shallow layer of compost. Weeding is never fun, but cooler temperatures can make it more bearable. Mice may get into outdoor bulb beds or cold frames. Use hardware cloth to keep them out. Voles, also called meadow or field mice, can feed on a wide variety of plants, including your bulbs. Two kinds of voles, pine voles and meadow voles, reside in the Carolinas. For lawns, hand pull or spot treat chickweed, henbit, and other winter annuals with a broadleaf herbicide. For perennials and ornamental grasses, diseases can be carried over the winter on plant parts and infect the plants in spring. Remove all fallen leaves and dead stems from the perennials before mulching. For roses, apply a dormant oil spray early in the month before new growth emerges to control overwintering insect and spider mite eggs. For black spot, overwinters on fallen leaves and canes. Rake out the leaves and compost them, or bury them in the flower border or vegetable garden away from any roses. Hand pull any young winter annual weeds or cover them with mulch. Feeding is never fun, but the cooler temperatures can make it more bearable. Trees. If scale insects and mites have been a problem this past season, apply a dormant horticultural oil when the plants go dormant. Be sure to spray the trunk, branches and stems, and both sides of the leaves thoroughly. Read the label for precautions regarding the high and low temperature limits at the time of application. Check your plants for spindle-shaped bags of bagworms, which contain 500 to 1,000 eggs that will hatch next spring. Take precautions against deer and rodents. Protect trees from deer with fencing or repellents. Rabbits can be deterred by installing wire or plastic guards around the trunks of young shade trees and fruit trees. To discourage voles, pull the mulch away from the trunk about a foot. For vines and ground covers, apply a dormant oil spray early in the month before new growth emerges to control overwintering insect and spider mite eggs. Read the label for cautions regarding the limits of high and low temperatures at the time of application. And we have come to the end of this book for our podcast. And we have here is the first fall freeze map. And for North Carolina, we have between September the 12th and 17th to almost November. So need to check with your weather station or anyone else in the weather area and check for your first and last freeze before running your garden. And this has been the podcast for Out in the Garden. And this ends this session, this book. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. And be sure to listen next time. And we hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. This has been our last podcast for Out in the Garden. I hope you've enjoyed it. I have, and I hope you'll join us in other types of podcasts later. Thank you.